Look on the sign in front of many public schools and you'll probably see it, the announcement of the first day of class. While that may be good news for most parents, for a lot of them, a new school year brings the question of how to pay for everything their children need. In Hawaii, 75,000 kids, about 40% of all students, need help paying for school lunches and basic school supplies. How do those numbers compare to last year's? We call Jan Harada, the president and CEO of Helping Hands Hawaii. She joins us now. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, year after year, we talk about kids in need and families in need. But when you look at those numbers and you still see over 75,000 kids, over 40% of the total number of students, it seems staggering. Has it gotten worse?
I think it's definitely gotten worse when you look at affordability in Hawaii in general. I mean, the amount of families that are struggling with poverty or paying way more than 30% of their income just on a roof over their head and their utilities, leaving not much for things like school supplies, it's definitely increased.
School supplies and food.
You're not even talking food yet or clothing or any of the other basic necessities, but many families are paying more than 30%, which is sort of that suggested ratio.
So in putting this year into some comparative analysis of what you've seen over the past years, and you mentioned that it's gotten worse, but how much worse?
I think we've seen in the years that we've been doing it since 2005, easily a 10% or more increase in terms of the amount of families that were struggling with poverty in the DOE system. Anyway, that's the stat that we have the most connection with.
And the years you're talking about of 05, 06, and into 07, those would be just pre-recession years. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I would imagine it would get
2008,
worse.
It crashed, and it really hasn't recovered. You know, the economy in general may have recovered, but many families are still struggling because it lasted so long. It wasn't a one-year crash. It was, 4 years of a downturn.
And depleting a lot of reserves, which left them with very little to
exactly.
do. Some of the things that other families might look at as being necessities. So what does that mean for a kid who walks into first day of school without all the stuff that all the other kids have and are expected to have?
It's very demoralizing for the kids. You know, we think, oh, well, they should just, be okay. But it's a little bit of that shame factor, which they carry already if they're poor or they're homeless and they're having to go to school. But when you don't have the right tools, you're not prepared. You're not as ready to handle, the learning process. And so it's that motivation. It's that inspiration that comes when you have the right tools. And when you don't have it, it's embarrassing. People feel ashamed. And then that impacts the way they learn in the school environment.
We know that there can be disparities from schools to school within just the same general area. But looking at statewide, where are the pockets of real need?
I think we see a lot of need in Kalihi, Palama, Liha. Well, that's one of the most densely populated, highest sort of poverty areas in the state to begin with. And then you also see a huge need in more rural communities, especially on the neighbor islands, where sometimes transportation or geography is a challenge to getting school supplies. So when you think about you're struggling with poverty and now you have to get on a bus or drive a car, pay for gas to get somewhere, to get supplies, and then get back, it presents additional challenges from a geography standpoint, too.
Because you're certainly not talking about people who have access to computers where they can just go online and just say, okay.
Credit cards to do that online, yes.
So as you're looking at this school year and a lot of kids, some 75,000 at least, who are going to be without backpacks, without crayons, without paper, without spiral notebooks, without all the things, and we're talking all ages, how do you begin to tackle that?
In our small way. So, we have a banking partner, American Savings Bank. We're lucky to have them. There are 56 branches statewide, so they're doing collections. We have some companies like Dietrich and others that are doing school supply drives within their own companies. Fantastic Sams and organizations like that are doing public drives. So the amount of help we can get is the more we can get, the better, in terms of it. And even then, we only reach maybe 8,000 students of the, let's say, 75,000 that probably need help with school supplies. So the more support we can get, the more we can reach. But that's kind of our average.
When you look at serving 8,000 kids and you know that there are, 68 or 67, the numbers are a little bit fungible here, but in terms of looking at so many, many more tens of thousands of kids who will go without, how do you continue to do what you do and not see it be so upended in the balance so imbalanced?
I think we just continue to know that we're making a difference for the kids that we are helping. There are other organizations, or not other organizations, but other companies that do their supply drives as well, that help. We also know, people should know that the teachers then, you know, the more that kids can't come to school, the teachers absorb a lot of that.
In other words, they cough up the cash to be able to buy what the kids need.
Kids are helping, you know, the teachers are helping the kids make sure they got basic school supplies too if they can't come up with it. So a lot of times the school supply lists as well that the kids go home with show some of those budgetary challenges of the DOE too, because you're seeing classroom supplies show up on those lists, like paper towels and Ziploc bags and hand sanitizer. So non-traditional learning supplies are also showing up on school supply lists as well. And that's reflecting the challenges that the teachers are facing in the classroom too.
Not that there could be any sort of, you know, panacea for this, but watching it get worse over a 10-year period of time, it's just not, you know, a quick blip on the snapshot. How do you begin to get around this? I mean, do you see a way out of this?
I think it's an affordability issue. So I think that's a much larger issue. I mean, the problem that's causing the lack of school supplies is part of the issue of affordable living in Hawaii. So whether you're talking about affordable housing, proper employment, sort of, you know, everything that comes with that housing, how you can afford education, you know, everything. I mean, it's part of that larger issue of how you increase affordable living in Hawaii for the people that want to be here.
Meanwhile, for a lot of those kids, it's going to mean that some good-hearted person is going to have to give something for mm-hmm. them to be able to do it. And that good-hearted mm-hmm. person may very well be their teacher, as mm-hmm. we talked about. So we're stuck in the cycle.
I think so. And I think it's, you know, some people think, well, what's the difference my $5, you know, or my $10 might make? But or why can't they just go and it's 50 cents at Walmart, you know, to get something? But when you have to make a choice between food and school supplies, you know, your first choice will probably be food and not school supplies, because you need food as a parent or as a guardian. So it's not so simple to say, wow, it's so cheap. You know, cheap to us is not cheap to the people that we're helping. And that's something for everybody to remember, that it seems simple, but it's not.
Especially when you figure in some of those hidden costs like transportation, time away perhaps from an office or a mm-hmm. business to be able to do anything. Thank you, Jan. Not a good story, but we hope that you have greater success this year.
Thank you.
And Jan Harada is president and CEO of Helping Hands Hawaii. And if you'd like to know how you can help out with supplies, go to our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.